Imagine this. You're standing in the heart of Pennsylvania's Lehigh Valley. It's the 1940s. The furnaces of Bethlehem Steel roar like thunder. Sparks fly, sweat drips, steel flows. This is the backbone of America. They built battleships, skyscrapers, rail to unite a continent. Now imagine this. Decades later, those same mills are silent. Windows shattered, rusty beams. Families gone. The company bankrupt. What happened? This isn't just a rust belt tragedy. It's a brutal lesson in what happens when legacy becomes a liability and when evolutionary instincts keep leaders locked in the past. You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success. Welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. And this is part four of our five-part mini-series, Transform or Die, Leadership Lessons from Business Evolution. Stick with me until the end, because today we uncover how one of America's industrial giants collapsed, not from weakness, but from inflexibility. Let's get started. Let's talk about the giant that built a nation. Bethlehem Steel was born in 1857 as the Saucona Iron Company and soon became a titan. By the 20th century, it was the second largest steel producer in the US. They rolled the beams for the Empire State Building, built 1,100 warships in World War II, employed over 300,000 people. In evolutionary terms, they weren't just fit, they were dominant. But here's a catch. Dominance in a stable environment doesn't guarantee survival in a changing one. And by the 1970s, the environment was changing. Fast. Foreign steelmakers in Japan and Germany introduced faster, cheaper, more flexible production methods like basic oxygen furnaces and mini mills. Bethlehem? They stuck with what they knew. Massive open hearth furnaces, legacy union contract, and the mindset forged in wartime glory. And that's where the downfall began. Stick with me, because what happened next mirrors something far older than business. It mirrors evolutionary failure to adapt. We're talking about inertia, identity, and the sunk cost trap. Bethlehem Steel leaders didn't ignore change out of ignorance. They ignored it because their identity was wrapped in legacy. They believed their past made them untouchable. Their systems sacred. Their scale unbeatable. Sound familiar? That's the sunk cost fallacy at work. An evolutionary bias where humans continue investing in losing strategies because they've already committed so much, as Arks and Bloomer 1985 showed. And again, we have the literature sources in the show notes. And in leadership, this gets magnified. Executives at Bethlehem clung to open hearth technology decades after competitors had switched. They resisted planned modernization. They underestimated global competition. They weren't bad leaders. They were paralyzed by their own success. As Kahneman and Tversky, 1979, showed, loss aversion drives humans to protect existing gains, even if it means missing out on future survival. And while the world raced forward, Bethlehem Steel stood still. So, now what can we learn from that? Let's break down the three main evolutionary lessons we can take away from what brought this titan to its knees and how to avoid the same fate. Lesson one, pride in the past can blind you to the future. Bethlehem legacy was deeply proud of its legacy, and rightfully so. But that pride became a narrative trap. In evolutionary terms, dominant organisms often fail to respond to new environmental threats because their success filters their perception, as Tseng et al. Showed 2022. As a leader, you must separate identity from strategy. Ask, are we honoring the past or worshipping it? Is our story empowering or trapping us? Legacy should be your foundation, not your fortress. Lesson two, watch for environmental shifts before they crash in. Bethlehem didn't lose because it stopped producing steel. It lost because it didn't adapt to shifts in the environment. New technology, new competitors, new labor expectations, new economic pressures. Leaders need a sensor network, a system for detecting change earlier. This means tracking emerging players, funding internal scouts to test future models, holding regular strategic reviews that challenge assumptions, not just celebrate performance, because by the time the shock hits your doorstep, it's too late to evolve. And lesson three, build organizational ambidexterity. Bethlehem was brilliant at exploitation, getting the most from their existing assets. But they failed at exploration, testing new processes, models, and markets. That's a core of what Tushman and O'Reilly, 1996, called organizational ambidexterity. Survival in complex environments demands that you do both. Run the core and experiment at the edge. Create innovation labs. Fund pilots without P&L pressure. Rotate leadership across business units to spark cross-pollination. The companies that survive are the ones that never stop experimenting. Never. Even when they are winning. Especially when they are winning. All right, let's bring this home. Bethlehem Steel didn't die because it was weak. It died because it was inflexible. It clung to legacy. It ignored environmental shifts. And it failed to invest in adaptation. And in doing so, it turned from builder of nations to symbol of decline. But it didn't have to be that way. Great leaders today can learn that the past is a platform, not a shield, that change doesn't wait for comfort, and that reinvention isn't betrayal, it's survival. So ask yourself, what part of our model feels sacred but isn't? Where are we protecting sunk costs instead of future fitness? What small experiments are we running right now to stretch our evolution muscle? Because standing still is rarely neutral. In a moving world, standing still means falling behind. All right, this was it for today. If this episode resonated, please subscribe, rate, and share with anyone who's passionate about leadership. And don't miss next week's episode, the final of our mini-series, where we explore the story of IBM and how one of the most bureaucratic giants in history actually reinvented itself and won. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until then, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.